This is the Rays Radio Network.
Slice down the left field line. It's a fair ball. The Rays win it, and they have just clinched the number one spot. They have won the American League Wild Card.
Welcome to Countdown to Opening Day.
Swinging a ball, sliced toward right. Back Hernandez onto the track, looking up, and it's gone! An opposite field homer! Yadier Diaz flexes his muscles, and the Rays win again in walk-off fashion.
Coming up, we sit down with Rays players, coaches, and front office executives to discuss the latest news in Rays baseball. Here's your host, Chris Adams-Wall.
And hello, everyone, and welcome to our latest program. My name is Chris Adams-Wall, and we're happy to have you with us. In today's show, we'll speak to Rays southpaw Tyler Alexander, who was claimed off waivers from the Detroit Tigers back in December. And then we'll have a chat with Rays number two prospect Carson Williams, the shortstop, about his fantastic 2023 season in the Rays minor league ranks, his versatility, and playing for his father's beach volleyball team growing up as a kid in San Diego. But first, let's hear from Tampa Bay's lefty, Tyler Alexander, who spoke to me about beginning his first spring training with the Rays.
Pitching is pitching, you know, spring training is spring training. It's the biggest thing is just learning names, learning faces, new teammates, new coaching staff, stuff like that. But, you know, I feel great and everything's gone well so far.
How has that gone, remembering names? I know I'm terrible at it.
I'm bad too, man. Nicknames help me. And sometimes it's just like time, you know, I need to repeat someone's name a bunch of times or see them for a couple days straight. And I'm getting there, but not as good as I'd like yet.
You were claimed off waivers by the Rays back in November. Were you excited about that opportunity? We'll get to your time in Detroit, but you spent all of your time really with the Detroit Tigers up until now.
Yeah, 9 years with the Tigers. You know, after 9 years, most of it being in the minor leagues, but you'd hope you could spend your entire career with one organization, which would be pretty cool. But when I got claimed, you only hear good things about the Rays, right? I mean, pitchers that come here have career years. You hear great things about Kyle Schneider, the way Cash runs the team. I mean, everything you hear amazing things, and I think it's a great opportunity for me. Change of scenery, maybe a change role, maybe not. Maybe it's the same thing. It doesn't really matter. But, I'm excited.
You were born in Chicago, as we talked about before. I pressed record here. But you grew up in Texas, and you went to Carroll Senior High School in Southlake, Texas, which is in the Dallas area. I was looking this up. Yeah, you say City of Champions. We can talk about, are you a Cowboys fan?
My fiance would kill me when I say no. The fans kind of annoy me.
Okay.
So I end up rooting against the team. I guess I'm a Lions fan. Just buying into that team when they were terrible was fun. And then now that they're good, it's even more fun. But, I mean, my parents weren't diehard Dallas people either. So we never really got pushed that direction.
Did you grow up a Rangers fan?
Yes. I grew up going to Rangers games all the time. The old ballpark, 110 degree summers. Like, you love it.
Who were your favorite players on that team, or did you have a favorite pitcher?
I mean, Cliff Lee when he was there. I for a while, up until a few years ago, my whole mechanics were built behind what Cliff Lee did. I even did like the little rosin bag thing on the hat. Just I don't know why, I just did it because he did it.
And then you started pitching at Carroll Senior High School in Southlake, Texas, as we mentioned. I was looking this up. Ross Stripling went there, and some pretty notable football players, a couple of kickers, Chris Brown, Garrett Hartley. You had quarterbacks Chase Daniel and Greg McElroy and Quinn Ewers, who plays for Texas right now, UT. Do you know any of those guys?
I knew Ross. I never played with him in high school, but just in passing, working out in the offseason, seeing him around the league, stuff like that. I played with Chris Brown's little brother, who kicked at Nebraska as well, but those other guys, they were a little before my time.
And then you were drafted by the Detroit Tigers in the 23rd round in 2013 out of high school, but then you decide, you know what, not going to go pro quite yet. I'm going to go to Fort Worth, just down the road there, and play for the TCU Horned Frogs. And you probably thought you were done with the Detroit Tigers then, but you weren't, right? No. Because then a couple of years later, after your sophomore season, they come knocking again. Second-round pick this time, though, in 2015. Go back to the first time that the Tigers drafted you, though. Was that difficult to determine, do I want to go pro now? I mean, a team just took me. Or do I want to roll the dice, so to speak, and go over to TCU?
From the start, I wanted to go to college. I loved TCU. I loved the staff that they had there. When I got drafted, it was kind of a courtesy out of their front office where they called me, and I asked for a ridiculous amount of money because I wanted to go to college. And so when they drafted me in the 23rd round, they didn't really even throw a number at me. It was like, hey, we'll see it again. I was a draft-eligible sophomore, so they'll see it again in 2 years, and we'll revisit it. And that's pretty much all it was.
And revisit it they did, right? So then you're a second-round pick, as I mentioned, in 2015, and that must have made it a whole lot easier to go pro.
Yeah. Being a sophomore, it was like 50-50. I put my number ridiculously high just, you know, because I was planning on coming back for my junior year. But second round, I figured no better time than now. And I was excited to play professional baseball. It was, you know, I was 20 at the time that I got drafted, so it was a little bit of a culture shock, living on my own, you know, experiencing what the minor league baseball life is at 20 years old. And, you know, it took a little bit to get used to, but I wouldn't have done it any other way.
Yeah, the minor leagues are typically where all you guys cut your teeth. Even a guy like me, who was in the minors for a long time. I was reading about your path through the Tigers system, though. Did you have a favorite stop? You were in Connecticut initially, is that right?
Which Connecticut? Yeah, it was the short season at the time. I don't want to bash any of the cities, but not my favorite. I don't think they have a team anymore. It was sort of out in the middle of nowhere. Mm-hmm. I went from there to Lakeland, spent most of a year there. Erie, I spent way too much time in Erie, Pennsylvania. Mm-hmm. Nice people. Yeah, about a year in Toledo. If I had to pick a favorite place, probably Toledo. Yeah. It's a cool city. The stadium's right downtown. They draw a good crowd.
And it's right down the road from Comerica Park, right, where you eventually ended up in 2019. Talk about the day you made your big league debut. Were you nervous at all? How exciting that was for you?
It was very nerve-wracking. A start in Chicago against the White Sox. People say they black out during their debuts. I remember it. It was like leading up to that day. It was game two of the day-night doubleheader, so I had a lot of time to stew.
And you're pitching in the city where you were born.
Yeah. That was so. My parents flew out to Chicago. I had a few family members that still lived there, some uncles, so they were out there. So that was pretty cool. They got to see me.
And then in 2020, you have the pandemic shortened season, but you did something that was pretty unbelievable on August 2nd of that year against the Cincinnati Reds. You set an MLB record for a reliever by striking out 9 consecutive batters. What was that day like?
Weird. I've gone my whole life, my whole baseball career, not being a big strikeout guy, like weak contact. I've always tried to keep my pitch count low, so, you know, always throwing strikes. So, like, strikeouts in quantities like that never really happened. Strikeout aside, sure, I've done that a couple times, but 3 in a row, 3 consecutive innings striking out the side, it was very weird.
Was that the best you've ever felt in the game?
Yeah, I mean, you have days where you go out and you know you have really good stuff. It just sort of, I feel like everything aligned for me that day.
Yeah.
It was like every weak contact pitch that I throw was buried, and every swing and miss pitch I had was like at its best. And the umpire gave me a couple inches off, which helped.
But that was against a playoff team, right? The Cincinnati Reds did make the playoffs, so it's not like it was a bunch of gimmies in that outing. Now this one's for the Rays fans. We're trying to get to know you a little bit better. What kind of a pitcher are you? We know you're a southpaw, but I know that you've done some opening in Detroit. You've worked as a bulk guy, a more traditional reliever. What can Rays fans expect from Tyler Alexander in 2024?
I think you can expect me to pitch in pretty much every inning and in multiple roles. That's what I did with the Tigers. Swingman, I think is what you call it, where it's like I started here, I would relieve here, long relief, leverage innings, starter gets in trouble, I'm in the second. Like I've done all sorts of things, and my role with them was sort of a Swiss Army knife. Like, be ready to go whatever. If I need to step in and make a start, I've built up a couple times and done that, which I really enjoy doing. Not having a set role starting, relieving, kind of going back and forth, switching up routines. It's really been exciting. It keeps me on my toes.
And finally, we know that you got a tee time coming up here. Are you a big golfer?
I love golf. I had a golf club in my hand before I was throwing baseballs. It's my dad's favorite sport, and it was his way of taking us out and having fun with us. So that's what I do mostly.
And are you a lefty golfer? Because Shane McClanahan is a lefty pitcher as well, and I told that he golfs righty.
Yeah. I golf for Eddie as well. Yeah. I think it comes down to being a lazy father, because he was a righty golfer, and he could just give me his hand-me-down golf stuff so he wouldn't have to go out and buy me left-handed stuff.
Oh, well, we wish you all the best on the links today, Tyler Alexander, and in the upcoming season. We can't wait to see what you can do. Welcome to Tampa Bay, and thanks so much for joining us on Countdown to Opening Day.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And we thank Tyler Alexander for taking the time to talk with us today. Alexander also mentioned to me how special it was to be Miguel Cabrera's teammate during the future Hall of Famer's final big league season last year in 2023. We are going to go to our first break, but don't go anywhere, because we're coming back with Rays number two prospect, the shortstop Carson Williams. That's right after this on the Rays Radio Network.
And welcome back to Countdown to Opening Day. Chris Adams-Wall joined now by Carson Williams, the Rays' number two prospect. Carson, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So, I know we've had some weather during spring training, so we're conducting this one inside this interview, but I feel like a lot of people know the name Carson Williams, and they know that you're one of the top prospects for the Rays, but we don't really know what you're all about. So, tell us a little bit about you. What was last season like? I know that you played at almost every level in the organization.
It was what I can say about last year was just experience, experience, experience. I got to go through most of the levels, and everybody in this organization is, I mean, I feel like we're a very close organization. Everybody knows each other real well. I was just trying to learn at each level, and I feel like this whole process for me of going through the levels, and everybody's making their way up to the big leagues, I'm going through my process right now. And I think last year was a great example of it for me, just getting experience and trying to get to that next level.
You played in Durham for about a week. You started the year in Bowling Green, the Rays' high A affiliate, the Hot Rods. You ended it in Double A with the Montgomery Biscuits. But what was that week in Durham like? I mean, you kind of got your feet wet up there.
It was awesome. I cannot say enough about that area because it's absolutely beautiful. And I can also say having your house right next to the field, walking over, that's pretty nice. Great group of guys up there, and it was interesting to see how they worked and how they conduct themselves in a professional area. It was very relaxed, but also serious, because they got their work and they got ready for the game, and that was that. Everyone had a certain routine, and it was different for everybody. So my goal coming into this year was to create some of those routines and try to get my feet wet and having a plan every once in a while, you know, getting older. So you gotta have a plan sometimes.
You don't need to tell me about getting older. You're only 20 years old, which is unbelievable. What did you learn during that week in Durham, or even going to the playoffs with the Biscuits? Pitching's a little different when you get to the Double A level and higher.
Mm-hmm. What I can say about the pitching is location is everything up there. They do not miss over the plate much, so you have to take advantage of what you get. What I learned is be patient. Wait, give your pitch. Like, you're looking for something that you can drive, and if it's not there, that's okay. And you gotta be patient.
That's quite a jump, though, going from high A to triple A. Were you nervous at all after that promotion?
Oh, absolutely. How could you not be? I was just trying to, take in as much as I can, learn from those guys up there, and have fun. For the biggest part of it, I guess.
And we said you're only 20 years old. You are the Rays' number two prospect. There are so many lists out there. And obviously Junior Caminero is one of the top prospects also.
Can't say enough about that.
Do you get caught up in that stuff, though, at all?
I try not to. Yeah. It's really hard when you see all these interviews and all this stuff come out on you. I told my dad to stop sending it to me, because I know I'm in the Rays organization and they are one of the best at developing players. So I am trusting my coaches, myself, and my process, and we're going to get to a really good spot.
You're still maturing, obviously, but what do you think you learned most about yourself last year? I mean, was that a pretty big year of growth for you in 2023?
Absolutely. I would say I learned the most this year. Because, I mean, obviously it's only my second year, but I learned about how I have to eat, how I have to take care of my body, and as I said before, those routines are everything. And a lot of it is maturing as well in baseball and outside of baseball. So I got myself a really good team, and I'm working on everything that I should be.
Let's go back to the beginning. You were from San Diego, California, which is just about the ugliest city you could possibly – no, it's probably the nicest one that we have in the United States, a lot of people would say. But you grew up – you and I were talking before this interview, and you grew up playing a ton of sports, which is pretty uncommon, I would say, these days, the era of specialization in which we live, where a lot of these younger kids – be it their parents or whoever's around them saying he needs to play this sport 24/7, 365, but not you. So where did that come from, and why are you so well-rounded, and what sports did you play?
First of all, I was blessed to grow up in San Diego. I couldn't have asked for a better place, but that was all my dad. He believed in playing every sport that you possibly could. Just it's coordination, it's athleticism, it all helps. Like, you can't go wrong. So I was a little bit of everything, with baseball, basketball, football, soccer, a little bit of lacrosse. My second sport in high school was actually beach volleyball. So I was all over the place.
And your dad had a team there, though, right? A beach volleyball team that you played for.
I did, yeah. So COVID got in the way a little bit, the junior and senior year. But actually, I got to play senior year too, but yeah, we played beach volleyball in San Diego, California, in Del Mar with Torrey Pines Falcons. It was a really good time because all my friends joined the team, and it was good stuff.
Beach volleyball in Del Mar, California. That sounds just awful. Yeah, you must have had a terrible time. Why aren't you a beach volleyball player, though?
I think baseball was always my path that I was going to choose. Baseball has always been number one in my heart, so here I am.
And did you grow up a Padres fan?
Yeah, I did. Padres and Chargers are big in my family.
Uh-huh. Well, let me ask you this. Now that the Chargers have moved away from San Diego, as you roll your eyes, yep, are you still supporting them, or did you wave goodbye to them when they moved up the road there to wherever they are, L.A.? I guess they're at SoFi Stadium now, right, in Inglewood.
My dad's had season tickets for when they were in San Diego for years and years.
That's
so,
welcome, right?
Yeah, me and my dad have not let them go yet.
Okay.
My mom, on the other hand, she let them go when they left. But she's from Philadelphia, so she had a pretty good team to fall back on.
That's not bad. What are your thoughts on them hiring Jim Harbaugh as head coach? You're probably pretty excited about that, right?
I mean, I don't think you can go wrong. Let's mix it up a little bit and see what happens.
All right, so not a whole lot of football playing, though, for you. But obviously, big football fan. You went to Torrey Pines High School, though. And I was reading about some famous alumni from there, not just Carson Williams. Tony Hawk went to that high school. So did Sean White. So did John Lynch, going back to football. I'm not going to ask you which classes you had with those guys because they're a little bit older than you, but do you know any of those guys at all?
I don't. My dad does know John Lynch just because he went to high school at Torrey Pines as well. But no, I've met Tony Hawk, but we obviously don't know each other, and then Sean White's also a huge name. I don't know him.
How did you meet Tony Hawk the first time? Did you say, hey, you and me, Torrey Pines, buddy?
Yeah, I meet up skate parks. I grew up skateboarding, snowboarding, surfing, all that stuff.
Of course.
It's San Diego. You can't go wrong.
And you surfed a little bit in the off season too, right?
Yeah, I try to get out there as much as I can when I go home. That's the happy place right there, is surfing.
How difficult is it to surf, though?
Like,
you think I could do it?
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah, it takes a little time, but you can definitely do it. Okay. And then the more you do it, the better you get. You can say that for anything.
Very good. So, in high school, you're drafted by the Rays 28th overall, right? Was that a difficult decision to go pro? Probably not, I'm guessing, when you go 28th overall. But where were you going to go for college? And do you ever think about the path not taken, I guess, at this young point in your career?
Yeah, absolutely. It's funny you say that. I was talking about that with my parents the other day. And I was supposed to go to UC Berkeley. And throughout the draft process, we didn't really know what we were doing. We're very new to that process, especially since I was slotted to go in a position that I was. We didn't know much, and we kind of relied on the agent to help us out with that process, and we learned a lot about it, and we based our decision off of where I went, and here I am today. But we were talking about it, and I think we came up with I'm a lot better of a baseball player now than I would have been going through the college process. I think I was ready at the time to get into a professional locker room, and I'm very happy on how it's all turned out.
How did you decide on Cal, though, beforehand?
Mm-hmm. I wanted to stay on the West Coast, and I did commit early. I was dead set on staying on the West Coast, so when that came up, I was all in.
And you would have gotten a little taste of Northern California then. Had you gone, last question for you, this is your first big league spring training. How has it been for you so far? I mean, you don't seem all that wide-eyed and deer in the headlights. I mean, you seem like you belong. Do you feel that way?
The first couple of days, I'm nervous trying to blend in, but everybody, it's so easy to join this group because everybody is so nice and welcoming, and it's truly awesome to see, because when they make you feel comfortable, it's easier to play, it's easier to be around everybody. So I give all the props to the organization for that, and now I'm just trying to get better, you know.
Yeah. Well, we can't wait to watch you in action. Thanks so much for joining us today on Countdown to Opening Day. Carson Williams, the Rays' number two prospect, and best of luck this year.
All right, thank you.
And that's Rays' number two prospect and shortstop Carson Williams. Rays and Twins is just around the corner with first pitch scheduled for 1:05 p.m. Eastern time here at Hammond Stadium in Fort Myers, Florida. We'll be back to wrap it up here on Countdown to Opening Day right after this on the Rays Baseball Network. I mean, we really appreciate Tyler Alexander and Carson Williams' time today on Countdown to Opening Day. That is going to do it for us, though. We will be back next weekend, however, at a different time and place. Yes, we will be coming to you from Santo Domingo in the Dominican Republic next Saturday night as the Rays take on the Red Sox at 5:05 p.m. Eastern time. And we'll have a new lineup of guests on Countdown to Opening Day live from the Caribbean right here on the Rays Radio Network. That will begin at 4:30 p.m., and then the game, of course, at 5:05. So make sure you tune in for that, and what a time that is going to be. I know we are all looking forward to it greatly. Special thanks to Derek DeBose back at our network studios, as well as Mark Hayes and Max Tanzer for on-site assistance, plus additional help from Andy Freed, Neil Solons, Chris Miller, and Becca Carney. I'm Chris Adams-Wall. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for listening to Countdown to Opening Day.
As this ball is blasted to straightaway center, this ball is long gone.
If you missed any of the show, download it at RaysBaseball.com/radio.
Speaking of the Jungle Cruise, that one is into the jungle, well into it for Randy Arozarena's 19th home run of the season.
Opening Day will be here before you know it.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out, the Rays win.
For tickets, visit RaysBaseball.com.